Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented to you by Reverend Bright Nkrumah, the senior pastor of the Lycos International Church, Bronx North. He is an anointed pastor and teacher of the Word of God, affecting many lives. Now get ready to be transformed by this anointed message.
Lord, that you give us of your Spirit, the great teacher, to guide us, to lead us in this service. Let all glory come to you. Holy Spirit, help me to speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hands together for the Lord and please be seated. Wonderful. Well, we want to continue our message on victory secrets. Victory secrets. And we are sharing from our prophet's book, our father's book, Victory Secrets. And today we are sharing from Victory Secret number 3, the secret of lukewarmness. The secret of lukewarmness. Hallelujah. It's not Luke who is warmed up. Amen. The secret of lukewarmness. Hallelujah. Do you understand what is lukewarm? When we say something is lukewarm, wow. It means it is not hot and it's not cold. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 15. The secret of lukewarmness. It says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Wow. I will spew thee out of my mouth. I'm not sure how many of you are coffee drinkers. If you like to drink coffee, you would understand why Jesus will spit out a lukewarm Christian. You know, if you are a real coffee drinker and coffee is lukewarm, you will not like it. It doesn't taste. It's either iced coffee or hot coffee. But lukewarm coffee has a certain awful taste to it. Hallelujah. So Jesus says, thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot. I will spew thee out of my mouth. He goes on to say, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Are you listening?
Yes.
I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you understanding the scripture?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
The scripture is saying, Jesus, this is the words of Jesus. He says, I know your works. I know your works. I know how you do things. That you are neither cold nor hot. I would rather that you were cold or you were hot. So then, because you are neither cold or hot and you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. You are detestable to me. I will spit you out. Then he says, because you say, I am rich and I'm increased with goods and I have need of nothing. And you don't know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So he gives you advice to buy from him gold that is tried in fire, that you'll be real worthy, and to buy from him white raiment, white garment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve. Eye salve is a special ointment for the eye, that thou mayest see, that you can see. Hallelujah. So you see here, it's not possible to be a good Christian and not be zealous. You cannot be a good Christian who is not zealous. A good Christian who is not faith-filled and fiery. You cannot be. You can't choose to be lukewarm. Faith by itself and by its very nature makes you a radical person in this world where people don't really care about God. Faith, if you are a faith person, it makes you appear radical to the world. Hallelujah. Amen. James chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? When you are friends with the world, you are an enemy of God. Amen. Amen. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Hallelujah. So anyone who is committed to God must be seen as a radical person to the world. If you are committed to God, the world will see you as very radical. If the world does not see you as a radical, now to be radical is someone who does things extremely opposite to a particular group or person. That is when they see you as radical. What you are doing is not our norm. What you are doing does not conform to our values and our statutes. When the world cannot see you as such, when the world does not see that you are doing something quite radical, then you are friends with the world. Amen. Amen. A lukewarm Christian is one who is partly for God and partly for the world. That is a lukewarm Christian. A lukewarm Christian is the one who comes to church and sings gospel songs and sings godly songs, but when he goes to have his party, he sings all kinds of worldly songs. Hey, or plays all kinds of worldly songs. A lukewarm Christian is the one who tells the music person or the DJ, just have some gospel songs, but save these ones for the latter end when the pastor is gone and all the church members are gone, and then let's jam. That is someone who is a lukewarm Christian. Are you listening? And that is the kind that Jesus is saying, when you are like that, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Hallelujah. Lukewarmness is a deadly enemy to the church. Is a deadly enemy. Hallelujah. Lukewarmness stands against the church. It works against the church. See, I don't know how you feel when you find out that your best friend, the one that you have played with for so many years, trust so much, you come to find out on a particular day that he also or she also belongs to this group of people who hate you. Are you listening? I don't know what you will do. On the day that you find out that this person that you call your BFF, your best friend, is also a member of a group of people who gather and hate you. They gather against you. I don't know what you do. That day, that person ceases to be your best friend. The day that you find out, that person ceases to be your best friend. The day that you find out, that person ceases to be the person that you have conversation with, the person that you pick up phone to call. The day that you find out. That is why Jesus is saying, when you are like that, when you are friends with me and you are friends with the world, you are disgusting. I will spit you out. Are you listening?
Yes.
You don't like my message. So lukewarmness is an ultimate curse that destroys the church and the foundation of Christianity. Amen. To be partly Christian and partly in the world. You come to church and you receive communion and then you go and you drink alcohol. You get boozed. You get drunk. Falling down. Amen. You come to church, you hear the word of God, and you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend outside of your marriage. Outside of your marriage. And with your friends, it's normal. It's normal. As a man, you are okay that as long as you take care of your home. Yeah. And it's okay with your friends. It's normal. It's normal with your friends that on Friday evening and Saturday evening, you go with them and your wives are not there. They are girlfriends. Someone was sharing with me. Well, with someone. That she's a special cook for this group of people. And wealthy people. And they have occasions where they gather at a certain place. And she cooks for them. And when she cooks for them, they are together, all of these men, together. And no one has his wife there. They are all with different women, their girlfriends. That they are having a good time. And to them, that is acceptable. To them, that is acceptable, and the wife ought not speak as long as you are being taken care of. You see, and such people, you find them in church also. You find such people in church. For real. They lift up their hands when we say, lift up holy hands. And Jesus is saying, whenever you do that, I spit you out. When I see your hands, I spit you out. Amen. You see, you are walking on a deadly path. You are walking on a deadly path, and you don't know. He says, you don't know that you are wretched. You are poor. You think you have it all. You think now you can afford to have a girlfriend. Or you can afford to have a boyfriend and you get away with it. But Jesus is saying, I see, I know your works. And you are a wretched human being. Amen. So a few points about lukewarmness and then we close. Number one, God is not deceived by lukewarmness. God is not deceived by lukewarmness. He sees it. He says, I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. You are neither hot nor cold. And I will spew thee out of my mouth. Hallelujah. So God is not deceived at all by lukewarmness. God has no time for lukewarmness. Amen. Lukewarmness is a mysterious evil that is not easily diagnosed. It cannot be diagnosed easily for what it really is. And it is such a dangerous state to be in. When you are a lukewarm Christian, it is so dangerous because, you see, you can be in a church for many years and going and coming, and you are lukewarm. You feel comfortable with the world, and you feel comfortable in a church. And so you don't have any need even to repent. You don't find any need to repent. You come to church, okay. There was not a season in time that they call you and say they have not seen you in church for a long time. You are always there. Prayer meetings, you are there. You pay your tithe. You give offerings. You are also comfortable with the world. And so many people can live life like this for so long, not having any need to repent. When we preach and we say, if you want to give your life to Christ, lift up your hands. You are not the type. You are not the kind we are talking to. That is why Jesus is saying, either you'll be very hot or you'll be cold. Because when you are cold, you find a need for repentance. When you are cold, you find a need for forgiveness. You feel there's a need of God to forgive you. But when you are lukewarm, you don't find that need. When you are hot also, you find a need to live a righteous life. You pursue righteousness because you are hot for God. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? But lukewarm, you have no need for repentance. So dealing with lukewarmness requires great wisdom and great understanding. Most people do not understand God's reaction to lukewarmness. And God's reaction to lukewarm people is to spit them out of his mouth. He says, I will spit you out. Hallelujah. God's reaction to lukewarmness may seem very extreme to you. You see, it may appear to be very extreme, but it only seems extreme to you because you don't know what it really is. What is really lukewarmness is you are a dangerous person to God. And that is why I was giving you the analogy that when you know a friend, a best friend, who is also a member of this group of people who are your enemies, that person becomes a very dangerous person. That person takes your weakness, your conversation, your secret, and he takes it to this group that hates you. And no one in that group will ever get to know of your secret except this person. And that makes that person very dangerous. That is why lukewarmness is very disgusting to God. Your lukewarmness opens the door, opens windows for the enemy to enter his church. Your lukewarmness is the reason why the enemy is able to use you to sleep with women in the church. It's your lukewarmness. And you allow the enemy to enter fully and establish. And now you begin to tell other men, oh, you can have the woman. You can. Oh, try this one. I have tried it. Your lukewarmness has made you dirty. Has made you wicked. Has brought evil in you that is spreading in the church. And so God says he hates such people. You are either hot for me or you are cold. Because when you are cold, you are out. And when you come in, you come with repentance. You come with repentance. Does somebody understand what I'm sharing with you? Your lifestyle as a lukewarm person makes people not want to be in church. It makes people look at you and they say, look at even a Christian. Because you see, you go to church. Today you are in church. Friday night, you were with your friends drinking. And so that friend will never look at you and want to come to church. And God says, such people, they are disgusting. They are disgusting. Repent. Amen. Repent. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? That is why God's reaction to lukewarmness is extreme. God is merciful to the cold. And is gracious to the one who is hot. But for lukewarm, he says, I spit you out. I'll spit you out. Hallelujah. So lukewarmness is the only thing so disgusting to God that it causes him to spit out as something that is detestable. There's nothing. No sin. God does not say, you are a fornicator, so I'll spit you out. God does not say, you are a thief, so I spit you out. You are a liar, so I spit you out. But for lukewarmness, he says, you are detestable. Is somebody understanding the word of God? So lukewarmness is the same as being complacent. It's the same thing as being complacent. And a complacent person is very pleased with themselves. Or they feel they do not need to do anything about their situation. That is a complacent person. That is lukewarmness. You don't feel you have to do anything about your situation. You are comfortable with your situation. That is why you can be a lukewarm person and sit in the church for many years and die and go to hell. And then we come to your funeral and then we say, he was a committed member of the church. He was with us for many years. You know, we moved from Lutheran church to the Casa de la Fe. And then we moved here. He was with us. She fellowshiped with us. Every meeting, she was there. Every prayer meeting, we found her. She was always with us. She did this. He did that. And so on and so forth. And then you have gone to hell. You have gone to hell. For your lukewarmness. Amen. Is somebody understanding the word of God? Because you feel very comfortable. You feel comfortable to live in the lukewarmness. You are okay with the world. And you are okay with the people of God also. Hallelujah. What makes lukewarmness so detestable? Lukewarmness is evil because it contains the ingredient of deception and a demon activity. Lukewarmness, it contains deception and a demon activity. Your lukewarmness is a reason why you find no need to pray. You don't find any need to pray. It's because of your lukewarmness. You feel you are okay. You don't find any need to join a prayer meeting ever. It's because of your lukewarmness. You don't feel there is any need to ask God for forgiveness of your sins. Amen. So, in fact, you can easily go to hell. Easily. And you'll be deceived that you are going to heaven. For your lukewarmness. Am I speaking to someone? Bible says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. I don't need repentance. I don't need to say the sinner's prayer. I said it 22 years ago. Amen. You say, I don't steal. I don't drink. I don't do this. I don't do that. But your lukewarmness, being comfortable with the world, and at the same time, in the church, makes you lukewarm. And God is spitting you out. Hallelujah. Amen. Am I speaking to someone?
Yes.
To be lukewarm is to be non-committed towards anything. You are not committed towards anything. There's nothing that you are committed to. And it's a deception because no one really is non-committed to anything. You will be committed to something. You will be committed to something. If you are not committed to God, you'll be committed to something. Amen. And I will share with you, I say, some of you, the way you treat God, if you treat your boss at work like that, you will not last at a job for 3 days. The way you treat God. The way you are persistently late to the house of God. Persistently. I mean, occasionally some traffic can catch you here and there or something. But consistently, if you are consistently late to work, how long do you think you'll last? Are you listening? He says, give these things to your governors and see whether they'll be happy with you. The next point, there is enmity in lukewarmness. There is enmity in lukewarmness. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, he says, he that is not with me is against me. He that is not with me is against me. You see, the Bible says that to be friends with the world is to be an enemy of God. So for your lukewarmness, we are defining it as partly friends with the world and partly friends with God. So the moment that you are friends with the world, you are an enemy of God. Now, can you imagine the day that you are friends with the world, the Lord comes? The Lord will come on the day, maybe not Sunday when you are taking communion, but he will come Friday night when you are drinking something else. He will not come Sunday night when you are with your wife in bed, but he will come Saturday night when you said you were going on this trip and you were somewhere else with your girlfriend. What would you tell the Lord? What would you say? What would you say? Am I speaking to someone? Am I preaching? Is it a good word? Lukewarmness is a dangerous thing. You are an enemy of God. He says, he that is not with me is against me. People who are not with you are actually against you. Do you know that? If they are not with you, they are against you. Anyone who is not with you is against you. Hallelujah. This is the wisdom that Jesus gave us. So we ought to be careful with lukewarm Christians, half-hearted, double-minded Christians. Hallelujah. These lukewarm people who are neither here nor there are actually your enemies. Amen. Your best friend that is also in a group of people who are your enemies is actually dangerous than your enemies. Isn't that so? That is why Jesus says he will spit you out. You are detestable. Amen. So it takes experience and wisdom to see through their self-righteous mask and to know that the lukewarm gentleman sitting in front of you is your enemy. Smiling, shaking hands is actually your enemy. Hallelujah. You will often find the good-looking, non-committal fellows to be the most hateful people. You know, lukewarm people, they are like A1 people. They are nice people. They are nice with everyone. Lukewarm. They are nice with everyone. Everyone likes lukewarm person. But God says, such people, I spit them out. The next point, prosperity is the cause of lukewarmness. prosperity is the cause of lukewarmness. Look, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. Revelation 3 and verse 17. It says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I don't need anything. So lukewarmness caused by prosperity, abundance, luxury, and earthly achievement. Lukewarmness. That is what brings about. When you have prospered, when you have everything, when you have need of nothing, when you have abundance, when you have luxury, when you have had earthly achievements, you have to be careful that you don't become lukewarm. That is why when the Lord was sending the people to the promised land, he says, be careful. Be careful when you are prospered. Be careful when you have money, when you have goodly houses. Be careful that you don't forget about God. Prosperity can easily make you forget about God. You don't need anything. Amen. Or you don't understand what I'm sharing with you. Many people who were zealous Christians, who were on fire for God, they became lukewarm Christians when they relocated to this country where there is prosperity and there's abundance. Many people, many Christians, they were on fire for God. They attended prayer meetings. They had a need for God in their lives. They fasted. They prayed. There were people who fasted for other people and prayed for other people. And as they relocate to a land of abundance and luxury, a land of having need for nothing, they hardly pray. Such people never fast. They never fast. There are some people who never fast. They have no need for fasting. Even when you declare that the whole church is fasting, they don't need it. Never fast. They hardly read their Bible. There are some people, the Bible that they read will be the scripture of the week. That's it. Until we meet again next week. That we all said together. Is somebody listening to me?
Yes.
Listen, God is watching you. God is watching this behavior. And he says, I know your works. I know your works. He says, you are wretched. That means that you are going to find yourself in a very wretched state very soon. You'll be shocked. You think you'll get away with it. You think you'll get away with it. Don't try God. He's very patient. He's very patient. And he's patient for you to repent. That is his love and grace. That you hear a message like this and you change, you repent. You don't hear a message like this and go back away and do the same thing. It's disgusting to God. You are disrespecting the word of God. And he says, such a person, I will spit you out. I will spit. You don't want to be in a state where God will spit you out. You don't want to be in that state. Are you listening?
Yes.
Church, are you listening?
Yes.
It's a serious thing. Don't be in that state. People who are on fire for God, they don't make any extra effort to serve God. No extra effort because you are in the land of plenty. You went to work, you came in the morning, I'm too tired to go to church. I'm too tired to go to church. But if you had another assignment for your second job, you would have slept for 2 hours and get up and go.
Right.
True or not true?
True.
Such people, they never go out to evangelize. Never. Because you are in a land of abundance. You are rich. And you have need of nothing. He says, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Hallelujah. I say prosperity is a cause for lukewarmness. A cause for lukewarmness. Even in our church, we can see in our own church, for where there was a time in our church where we depended on, you know, some Brother David Van bringing us all together to church and taking us back, and a self-adjust yellow cap giving us ride, and that's all we had. And our service to God was different. We cried to the Lord. I remember there were times where so many people didn't have papers. And almost every week, somebody's going for interview. Reverend, pray for me. You believe in the prayers. Since you got your papers and you got your degree and you got your job, when did you come to the Lord? When did you even come to the pastor and say, Pastor, pray for me because I can't read my Bible. Pastor, pray for me because my church attendance has become very difficult these days. Pastor, pray for me because I can't fast. Pastor, pray for me. When was the last time? But you have need of nothing. Now you have need of nothing. Today, we don't need any van to bring us. We drive in our individual. Today, we are talking about Mercedes-Benz, Tesla. We're talking about BMWs. We're talking about all kinds of cars around us. And we say we have need of nothing. We have houses with several rooms. We can't even find our children sometimes. Whereas there was a day that there were too many around you. Go, 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 go. Give me some space. They were just too much around you. He says, now you have become lukewarm because you have prospered. And you say, I am rich. And I have everything. And I have no need. Seriously, when was the last time you went on your knees to pray for your next meal that the Lord gives you breakfast? When? But he says, pray for your daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. You don't need a prayer. Have you prayed for your bread for the day before? You don't. That is why you don't pray. You don't have a need to pray to God. Until he brings some siniazo. Are you agreeing with what I'm sharing with you? That we don't serve the Lord, our God, the same way as we serve, even a few years ago. Sometimes you wonder if it is good to pray that the people will prosper. Or, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say. But I'm teaching you that it is God's desire that thou mayest prosper and be in health, as your soul also prospers. He wants your soul to prosper. He doesn't want you to be a lukewarm Christian. That today you have need for nothing. You can afford to buy anything you want. And the Lord, he will provide. He will provide. But don't let his blessing also take you away from him and become a lukewarm Christian. Am I speaking to someone? Well, our time is up, but let me give you the last point before. The last point, seeking the anointing will drive out lukewarmness. Seeking the anointing will drive out lukewarmness. I cannot share all the points with you, but if you read a scripture, it says, I counsel thee, Revelation 3:18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. That speaks of righteousness. Righteousness gold tried in a fire. I counsel thee to seek righteousness. Pursue righteousness. Pursue to do good. Sister, what you're doing is displeasing to the Lord. This lifestyle is displeasing to the Lord. My brother, this lifestyle is displeasing to the Lord. Pursue in your heart, purpose in your heart to do that which pleases God. He understands that every now and then we fall. But this attitude of doing it with confidence and with joy and with happiness, without any fear and reverence to God, he says, it's disgusting. And I'll spit you out. I'll spit you out. He says, and white raiment, that thou may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. You see, very soon you are going, the Lord is going to expose you. You'll be amazed. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. That is seeking the anointing. Seeking the anointing is seeking a hard thing. Seek the anointing. The anointing is not only for pastors. Every Christian must pursue the anointing. The anointing is the Holy Spirit. He will help you. He will help you lead a righteous life. Pursue the anointing. Search for the Holy Spirit. Do things that attract the Holy Spirit into your life. Amen. Seek the anointing, and you will be forced to be zealous all the time. When you are pursuing the anointing, it will make you a zealous Christian. If you have a thirst and a hunger for the Holy Spirit, it will make you a zealous Christian. Your attitude of not caring at all about the Holy Spirit. You know, you have never prayed for the Holy Spirit. Truthfully, I mean, be honest with yourself. You have never prayed for the Holy Spirit. You can't live a Christian life without the Holy Spirit. You cannot. It will force you to be zealous. Hallelujah. Seeking the anointing is pursuing and desiring the Holy Spirit. Amen. You'll become a living wonder through the power of the anointing. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is a mysterious and obscure experience that is worth following after. Hallelujah. It's worth following after. John chapter 14 and verse 16, it says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So you cannot receive the Holy Spirit if you are worldly. Did you hear me? That is why you never pray for the Holy Spirit. Because you are in the world. He means nothing to you. He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. You can't see the Holy Spirit. You can't perceive him. You cannot feel him. You don't desire him. You have no need of him. Neither knoweth him. You don't know the Holy Spirit. But ye know him. Say, I know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Amen. So seeking the Holy Spirit will deliver you from being friends with the world. Because you know that when you are friends with the world, you will not receive the Holy Spirit. You will not receive the Holy Spirit. So seeking the anointing will deliver you from lukewarmness. Amen. Because the world cannot receive him. Whenever you have a desire for the Holy Spirit, when you have a hunger for the Holy Spirit, when you have respect for the Holy Spirit and you want the Holy Spirit to remain with you, there are certain things that you will not do. There are certain things you will not have even a desire to sleep with another woman outside of your marriage, when you have a desire for the Holy Spirit, when you know that it says that your body is a temple of the living God, you will not fornicate. You cannot sleep with another man when you know that God desires your body. Is somebody listening to me?
Yes.
You know that telling lies drives out the Holy Spirit. When you tell lies, you repent right away. You say, why did I say that? Holy Spirit, please. And then you make... Have you sinned certain sin and immediately you feel convicted? I didn't need to do this. Father, please forgive me. And then... Have you been in that situation before? Yeah, it's the Holy Spirit. It is everyone who cares about the Holy Spirit. But people who are in the world, they lie and they don't care. They look at your face and say, look at me, believe what I'm telling. And they are lying. May the Lord help us and deliver us from this evil of lukewarmness. In the name of Jesus. Clap your hands together for the Lord. And please rise up to your feet as we bring the service to a close. Rise up to your feet. Pray to the Lord and speak to the Lord and ask Him to help you, deliver you from this evil of lukewarmness, that you have heard His word. And you are not going back to the same lifestyle. Your attitude towards Him will not remain the same. You will not be a lukewarm Christian. You will not be a lukewarm Christian. You will not be a lukewarm Christian. Oh God, help us. Help us. Help us to stay committed to You. To stay devoted to You. To go all out for You. No part with the world. No part with the world. May we not feel comfortable with the world, but may the world see us as a radical, radical Christians, radical followers of God, in the name of Jesus. Let the world see that your church going is too much. You are too much into God. You are too much with this church. Church thing, you are too much. May the world see you like that. If the world does not see you like that, if your family, friends do not see you as too much for God, you are too comfortable with the world if they don't see you as such. May the Lord help us. Oh, Jesus. Lift up your hands and ask the Lord, Father, help me. Help me. Deliver me from this evil of lukewarmness. Deliver me. May I be all committed to You. This double life, I've lived it for too long. But today I repent. Father, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. The Lord can make you very happy in your family. He can make you very happy in your marriage if you can rely on Him. It is deception. It is deception. Deception from the enemy that you need this one also, that you need this man, you need this woman, you need this young girl, you need this young man in your life. It is deception from the Lord. The Lord can make you a very happy person. You can drink Coca-Cola and be very happy. You don't need that alcohol. You don't need that. You don't need it. It's deception. It's deception. The Lord can make you a very happy person if you be committed to Him. If you be committed to Him, He's full of joy. He says that He will make your joy full. He will make your joy full. He's able to make your joy full. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. May we remain committed to You. May we remain committed, committed to You. Oh, yes. Lift up your hands and sing it. If there's anything in me,
speak to me.
Oh, yes.
If there's anything in my life that doesn't honor You tonight, Lord,
I'm listening, Lord.
Speak to me. Sing, I wanna see. I wanna see.
Oh, Jesus.
How You see. How You see.
We can understand, oh, Jesus,
change my
how we appear the testimony. have our ears.
Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me. I'm listening, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. Lord, speak to me.
Yes.
Lord, I'm listening.
Lift up your right hand and say, speak to me, Lord.
Speak to me.
Oh, Jesus. I'm listening. Don't let me leave this place the same as I came. Change me. Change me. Speak to me. You are able. When we avail our hearts to you, when we avail our hearts to you, our hearts are open to you. Change us. Change us. Change us. Oh, Jesus. Change us. We are grateful and thankful. We thank you for your word. Lord, you have our ears. You have our hearts. Let our hearts be in your hands like clay. Remold us. Change us. Transform us. Cause us, Lord, to be committed to you. To serve you wholeheartedly. Not half-hearted. Oh God, change us. Change us. In the name of Jesus. Now, if there's anyone here this afternoon, you are not born again, you are saying, Father, I want to give my life to you. Perhaps you have been coming to church Sunday after Sunday, but you know in your heart today that if you were to die today, you are not sure where you will be. Will you be among those that Jesus will say, I knew you not? Will you be among those? If that is you, or you have never said this prayer before, but you are saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to walk with you. I want my life to be pleasing to you. I want you to count me among your faithful servants. If that is your prayer, you are saying, Pastor, help me to pray to give my life to Jesus. Lift up your right hand. Wherever you are, and I'll pray with you. You want to give your life to Jesus. You want to recommit your life to Jesus. You want to say this sinner's prayer again. Perhaps you need to say this prayer today. Because you don't know what awaits tomorrow. Is there anyone here like that? You want to give your life to Jesus? Anyone here like that? You want to give your life to Christ? You want to be recommitted to Jesus? Why don't you say this prayer with me? Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Please forgive me of my sins. Please wash me with your blood. Lord Jesus, I welcome you into my heart, into my life. Be my Lord, be my Master, be my Savior. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by this powerful message. Come worship with us at the Lycos International Church, 1810 Randall Avenue, Bronx, New York, at 2 p.m. every Sunday. God bless you.